Over the years, I've been a student of war. The Revolutionary War, particularly the war for between the states, World War II. I lived through the end of it, and I remember Pearl Harbor well, as some of you that are here do. But some of you don't. And tonight I want to talk to you about that subject, war. In a way, it's not a nice subject, but it's one we need to know about. Because, you know, we are engaged in one. Oh, I don't mean our country politically, although our president is on his way to, I think it's North Korea, and I wish him well and hope everything goes good over there, because Asia right now is at odds with us. But that's not the war I want to talk about. I want to talk to you about a bigger, more encompassing war. Our war. Yeah? Your war. We're at war. Now, some of you elders may appreciate that and know what I'm talking about. Some of the younger people may not. And to really get a grasp on it, I want to go back to the very beginning, the beginning of our world. And I'm going to read a little here in Genesis. Genesis 1, the first three verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Now, most everybody here tonight knows the creation story. So I'm not going to read through that, but I wanted to read those three verses just to give us a little preface. You know, it's really interesting to read the creation story for the 7 days and what happened, to read it slowly and really take in what it says. Think about what it just said. And the earth was without form and void. What's void mean? Void means there's nothing. I'm holding nothing. That's void. You see it? That's void. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was. That means that all of those universes were out there. And those nebulae and other things that are up there circling around. But our universe wasn't. The earth wasn't there. He said, tells later how he makes the sun and the moon. They weren't there. He made them from scratch? I don't know. But they appeared when he said so. We weren't there. Man wasn't there. Man didn't come along till about the fifth and sixth day. Who was there? God? Jesus? I want to go to the Book of Mormon. I'm on page 628, which is third book of Nephi, chapter 4. I'll just read two verses. We're not going to be here very long tonight, but "Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heaven and the earth and all things that in them are. I was with the Father from the beginning. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and in me hath the Father glorified his name." So in the very beginning, there was God, Jesus. Well, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit had to be there because God was. We don't know because there isn't anything that tells us for sure, but I think it's a fair assumption His angels were there because they were from the beginning. Gabriel, Raphael, Michael, the morning star, they were all there. When he created the earth, and God had a plan. He knew what he was going to do. He was going to put man on earth. He was going to have a people that would worship him, that would be his people. And he proceeded to work that out. When he put Adam and Eve in the garden, and what happened? Well, remember I said we think the angels were there with him when he formed all that? One of them was called the morning star. In Hebrew, they have a word for it. I think it's pronounced Heliel. I may be pronouncing that badly, but the morning star. The morning star, as it turns out, was a real eager guy. And he wasn't satisfied just to be an angel. And he was a troublemaker from the beginning. And he saw what God was doing, and he had a plan. We know what that plan was. He came and he talked to Eve. After God put Adam and Eve in the garden, he came there as the serpent, because that's who the morning star later became. We know him as the devil or Satan. I find it very interesting, if you study history, the Indians have a name for Custer. They referred to him as the son of the morning star. I've always found that very interesting. That's another story. So the serpent talked to Eve, and you know what happened. Because he knew that once they partook of the forbidden fruit, they would die, but after a period or span of life. They didn't understand that. And Satan didn't think that God understood what he was doing. He thought he was going to one-up God, and he was going to take control of the earth, and he was going to have the power and be in charge. Oh, yes. He had great aspirations for himself. And we were his target. Not we now necessarily, but Adam and Eve and their progeny then. And yes, now us. He wanted to thwart what God said. And the people were warned. And I want to go to Isaiah. Isaiah, the 14th chapter, and I'm going to read verses 12 through 15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Oh yeah, that was another name for the morning star. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And then Isaiah says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell in the sides of the pit. Because God knew what he was up to. But Satan tried anyway. And he worked very hard at it. Let me see. Let's go to I'll read to you here out of the Book of Mormon. It's on page 85. This is the second book of Nephi, chapter 1, and I'm going to do verse 101, read just a couple of verses. "And I, Lehi, according to the things which I have read, must needs suppose that an angel of God, according to that which is written, hath fallen from heaven. Wherefore he became a devil, having sought that which was evil before God. And because he had fallen from heaven and had become miserable forever, he sought also the misery of all mankind. Wherefore he said unto Eve, yea, even that old serpent which is the devil, which is the father of all lies. Wherefore he saith, partake of the forbidden fruit, and ye shall not die, but you shall be as God, knowing good and evil." Because Satan knew that the minute they did that, they would suddenly be like God. Yes, they would know good and evil. That was a promise of God. From the beginning, they would know good and evil. And in time, they would die. But they would be expelled from the garden. They would be out of God's presence, and they would have no way back. We might say today, there was no escape hatch. The devil said, aha, and then I'll have you, and they'll be mine, and I can exalt my throne, and I'll be higher than God. He had quite a plan, didn't he? But God knew what he was doing, and he knew what Satan was going to do. And he prepared that escape hatch. But I want to read you a little more about what was going on in heaven at the time. Because, you know, from the very beginning, there were things that are not recorded. We have things in the Bible, like, for instance, they talk about the giants that came to earth after God created the earth. And they married the daughters of men here. And you know there are some references in Deuteronomy where Joshua and Caleb, clear up in the Old Testament, were still dealing with some of those giants. It says they were, at an average, 9 feet tall. They're pretty big guys. So, but that story is not in here. And there was that time, at the time of the flood, when God said, I'm going to destroy all this. Satan had almost gotten ahead of him. And God said, everything is evil continually. For anything that man imagines. And he said, I'm going to destroy it. But Noah appealed to him. And they started over. And that's the story of the flood. I won't go into that. That's another story. But you all know it. But the earth continued to evolve, and things in heaven continued to evolve. Let me see. Let's go to Job. You remember the story of Job? I want to read in the book of Job, chapter 1, and verses 6 and 7. It says, now there was a day when the sons of God, and I assume he's talking about the angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. You see, at that period in history, which was long past the creation that I've just been talking to you about, up into the time of the Old Testament, he had the ability to go back and forth and to wander around, and he was a mischief maker, and he was causing all kinds of trouble. And when they came in to present themselves before God, I don't know if God was surprised to see him there, but he said, what are you doing here? In effect, And Satan came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? You see, he went right to the bottom line. He knew what Satan was up to. He knew he was a mischief maker, and he was creating trouble, so he's going to challenge it. And there is one like him, no one like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And we all know the story of Job. And I won't tax you very long here with that. Except that he put a condition on it. He said, you can do anything to Job you want to, but don't hurt him. You can't kill him. And so Satan was limited in that respect. But he still had the power to go to and fro and back and forth. And he could come down to the earth and get into trouble all he wanted, and he did. He caused Job all kinds of misery. At that time, salvation didn't exist. And I suspect Satan thought he was going to be the winner, because all of these people who now were dying, they were out there in limbo. They couldn't return to God. And Satan was thinking, aha, I've got them. But did he? No. The story is told in parable in Matthew, and I thought to read it, but it's a little long, so I'm not going to do that. But it's like the guy who owned the vineyard, and he sent his servants, and his other servants killed them, and he sent his overseers, and the servants killed them, and so he said, well, I'll send my son. Well, that's the parable where God sent Jesus to the earth, that he could right what was wrong, and that salvation could be gained by man. And you know, Satan didn't give up. No siree. Soon as Jesus was of age and was ready to go about his ministry, what happened? He was tempted by Satan. He was still trying to get the upper hand. And we can read about that. That's recorded in, Matthew. Chapter 4, the end of verse 3 is when he was baptized by John, and verse 17, which is the last verse in chapter 3, he says, And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then in chapter 4, the first 5 verses or so, I won't read the whole story, but then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered, meaning Christ answered, and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we ought to hearken to that and recognize that. If you use bread as the symbol for the things of the world and the needs that we have to keep us alive, we could say it is written, Man shall not live by these worldly supports at all, but by the word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's where our life is anchored. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again, we should hearken unto that. That's not just a historical saying of what happened. That's also instruction to us. Don't tempt God. And Satan failed. He tried to recruit Jesus, but he couldn't do it, because God had the Holy Spirit with him, and it was stronger than that power of the devil. But the devil is still mighty strong, and he tempts us daily, and we have to answer him. We have to make choices, and that's our warfare. Because we fight against conscience, we fight against our worldly will, our humanness, things that we want, and we have to say, no, I'm going to do it this way, God's way. That's what is the most important. But there came a day, and it's in Revelations chapter 12. And I'm going to read in chapter 12, I'll read three or four verses, then we'll go down and read 7 through 11, I think. Christ was born. He grew of age. He went into his ministry. And following that time, he fell subject to the evils of the world, and he was crucified by the very people that he had come to save. The Jewish nation never did figure it out. Some were converted. But there was a happening, and one which I don't know if Satan really understood what was going to happen at that point in time. He probably rejoiced and thought, oh boy, when Christ was crucified. But did he really realize what would happen to him? Let's read in Revelations verses 3 and 4. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered and to devour her son as soon as it was born. This was the Christ and the church, the power of the authority of God. That scripture is argued over by many, but the important thing is, in verse 6, the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 years. And that is the time of when religion was from the face of the earth. We call it the Dark Ages. And then it was restored. But the fact that Christ was crucified and resurrected broke the bands of death that controlled men. And then Satan didn't have that soul grab on our souls anymore. We still had our choices. And if we followed the teachings of God and followed Jesus Christ, we, after being resurrected, could enter eternity. We could have salvation. And that was the plan, the safety hatch, the plan of escape that God gave us to get away from the devil. But it's up to us. We have to perform that miracle by our choices. of what we do and how we serve him or serve evil. I suspect that that makes the evil one even more fierce and more dreadful than he is originally. Let me see, I want to read you a little more here. Go down here to verse 10, still in chapter 12 of Revelation. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren," and that's the morning star, that's Satan. He's been the accuser of those in heaven all this period of time, since the beginning of time. He's been a troublemaker. And they refer to him as the accuser. "The accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb," that is the crucifixion, "and the word of their testimony," the resurrection, "and they loved not their lives unto heaven. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them." This is the angels speaking. "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth," that's us, "and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he have but a short time." He now no longer can go back and forth between the earth and heaven like he did at the time of Job. Instead, we're stuck with him. He's here. And he prowls the earth, and like Christ told Peter, he wants to sift you like sand. He is after all the souls. And it's up to us and our choices in this warfare, our combat to him. "And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." And he has. He's persecuted man and his attempt. And I'm going to read you some of that, which is recorded in the Book of Mormon. It's in 2 Nephi. Chapter 12 and I think this is speaking of the latter days. Chapter 12, we're on page 152 in the Book of Mormon. And I'm going to start with verse 3. "For it shall come to pass in that day that the churches which are built up now and unto the Lord, when the one shall say to the other, 'Behold, I am the Lord,' and the other shall say, 'I am the Lord's,' and then shall every day that both build up churches and not unto the Lord." So you see, although man is trying in his feeble way, he errs because the Lord leads him astray with false doctrines, with false promises, and man does the things that he's not supposed to. In fact, here's some of the things that happen, and you can identify with today. Think about things you've come across or that you know, or places you've been, or previous churches or associations. Let's go over to verse 9 on chapter 12. It's on page 153. "Yea, and there shall be many that shall say, 'Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and it shall be well with you.'" That's the creed of the world. "And there shall also be many which shall say, 'Eat, drink, and be merry, nevertheless fear God. He will justify in committing a little sin. Yea, lie a little, take the advantage of one because of his words, dig a pit for the other. There's no harm in this.'" And many preach that. The once saved, always saved. Once you're saved, then you don't have to worry. You're home free. Not so. Every day is a battle until you leave this earth. Your warfare continues. The struggle is there. And do all these things, for tomorrow we die, and if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes, and at last we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. That's taught by many. In this day. Yea, and there shall be many which shall teach after this manner false and vain and foolish doctrines, that shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their grounds from the Lord, their counsel from the Lord. And their works shall be in the dark, and the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. Verse 19, woe unto them that turn aside the just for a thing of naught, and revile against that which is good, and say that it is of no worth. For the day shall come that the Lord God will speedily visit the inhabitation of the earth, and in that day that they are fully ripe in iniquity, they shall perish. Yes, we are engaged in a great battle, a great warfare that is more important than those we study of in history, because it involves our soul, our very existence. And Satan would have you, but God has prepared that way. And if you will follow his teachings, you will survive. If you do not, the choice is yours. Let's go to Alma 19. I'm sorry, I thought I marked this for quick reference, and I didn't. We're on page 455 in the Book of Mormon. This is the Book of Alma, chapter 19. I'm going to go to verse 108, and I think probably read through 110. And thus God bringeth about his great and eternal purposes, which were prepared from the foundation of the world. So back there, when that void yielded up our galaxy and our earth, and the angels were there with God, he knew what was going to happen and could foresee it and had planned ahead. Satan, in his eagerness to prevail and be all powerful, charged ahead with his plan. But God is going to prevail. He is the winner of this conflict. And thus cometh about the salvation and redemption of man, and also their destruction and misery. Therefore, O my son, whosoever will come may come and partake of the waters of life freely. And whosoever will not come, the same is not compelled to come. but in the last day it shall be restored unto him according to his deeds. So we have to look at our life day by day, how we're responding to the things of the world, how we respond to the temptations of the devil, because he is real, he is out there, and he is tempting us. It is war. But if we make the right choice, salvation can be God's and ours. Together, we'll win. And that's what I'm sure we all want. I bless you in your warfare. Fight a good fight. Be an example to the others around you and serve your Lord. God bless you.
What you've heard is often referred to as